Welcome to Sacred by Design, a podcast by women for women. Together, we'll explore issues like betrayal trauma, sexual brokenness, and more. It's time to connect your struggle to your story to God. Let's get started. I wish that our listeners could be privy to the few minutes just leading into this, because the way that you prayed us into this episode is such a beautiful, it's a beautiful example of coming alongside and really just gently approaching big topics. And we're approaching a big one today. And when it comes to any sort of counseling, a word that therapists and coaches like to use is the word unpack. And we are unpacking today.
We're going to do some of that.
This conversation is full of a lot of psychological terminology, and those big words have a lot of real feelings underneath. So let's unpack.
I'm really looking forward to this time today and unpacking this idea that we're going to explore today.
Let's get started. Codependency. That's a big word.
It is.
And if you were to Google it, I have a lot of answers, but we, what we're going to do is unpack it as real humans together.
And, you know, as we've done a couple of times, we've talked a lot about stories, and that's another way to kind of introduce a complicated topic is to see it through the lens of story. So today we're going to start with my story, which, again, we've touched on a little bit before, but we're going to get into it a little bit more. And, you know, it's been really interesting to, I mean, I know my story, I've done story work, but even revisiting it has been very interesting for me, just kind of affirming even in me how we're recommending it to others. I'm like, yeah, this really is good to do.
There's a reason we say this.
And so, you know, I was like 11 years old when I first came under the spell of what I thought was love. When it was really codependency, 11 years old, you know, so I had to really think about that. I didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't know that my home life was completely dysfunctional. It's the only home life I knew. It wasn't, I didn't know it wasn't normal for there to be chaos and for there to be drinking and for there to be little children who need love who aren't getting any. I didn't know. I remember wanting physical touch, and I remember asking for it, and then my parents saying, you know, oh, would you, I'm tired. Would you scratch my legs? Would you rub my shoulders? My dad liked me to give him these pretend haircuts. And so I would do that. I would do that as a way to get some kind of physical touch. What's interesting is that what I learned from that really early was you do things for people to get love. You do things for people to get love.
That's a big lesson for a little girl.
It is.
So you didn't know what you didn't know. And I, what you said already of revisiting and affirming, that is the gift of walking through story. So thank you for this little bit of a story, because I hope that women listening, when they revisit their stories and can affirm some things and say, oh, that's the lesson I learned, and then they can move forward. So how did you see your childhood experience translate or move into your teen years?
You know, I don't know exactly when I began to believe, you know, oh, sex equals love and intimacy, but that's what I began to believe. And I don't know when I began to disassociate. I didn't, of course, didn't even know what that word meant, but I don't know when I began to disassociate whenever whether I was with a boy or a man, but I did. I didn't know that intimacy was sharing yourself with someone in devotion and in love. I completely missed that. So for me, giving sex was like a surefire way to keep somebody with me, to care for me. Problem was, it didn't work. And so I didn't, I also didn't understand that it was okay to say no. I didn't know that it was okay to say no. And I didn't want to say no because I wanted desperately for someone to care for me. So I didn't know about boundaries. I didn't know that I should have boundaries. I was codependent. And so that, what began as a, in a little girl, just became more and more a part of me as I got into my teens and certainly went even well into my 20s. And actually, for most of us that are codependent, we would say we're in recovery. I'm in recovery for codependency. It's not something that I, you know, I certainly have received a lot of healing, but it's still something, you know, that that I struggle with and that I notice in myself.
Hmm. Okay, so a lot of words were just in your that part of your story also. So part of unpacking a term is defining it.
Yeah,
so can you define codependency?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You'll if you look up, if you Google emotional dependency, codependency, you'll get all kinds of different views on it. But I think a common and a very straightforward way to look at it that a lot of people would agree with, I think, is that when a person has a serious lack of self-understanding, of self-acceptance, and they look to others to fill that void and to make them worthwhile, that's codependency. Mm. If another person needs you, you feel like you have a purpose, that's codependency. When you're codependent, you are desperately needing approval from others, like really desperately needing approval from others. And you feel inordinately responsible for others, for other people's feelings. And you're frustrated if you can't make them happy, if you can't fix them. And you often forget about yourself and that you have needs because you're preoccupied with everybody else's.
Wow, what a list.
Yeah.
So, listener, absorbing all these words.
Yeah.
If you're feeling some of these descriptions hit close to home, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It is. It's okay. Because there's ways that we want to encourage you in that, in your recovery.
Recovery.
Yes.
There is
a great word. Yes. Restoration, recovery, you know, all those, you know, restoration, redemption, all those words are so real and true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And possible.
Yes.
It's so possible.
Yeah.
Okay. So how does one become codependent?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, it really is traced back to our childhood, to the relationships that we had with our caregivers, often parents. That's a very common root. And the interesting thing is that it can happen if we had parents who were extremely overprotective.
Mm-hmm.
It can also happen if we had parents who were extremely underprotective.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking extremes. You know, all of us as parents, all of our parents and us as parents, we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. We tend to sometimes overprotect or underprotect. But these are kind of some extreme examples. And if parents are overly protective, they can hold their kids back from building confidence that they actually need to go out into the world. And so there might be lots of anxieties that you feel stifled. And these kinds of relationships are also often enmeshed.
Mm.
And the parents want the child to be dependent on them. They encourage dependent behaviors and they discourage independent behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
Makes them feel better about themselves. And sometimes there's even guilt attached to wanting or needing your own life because of that parent's own, you know, brokenness.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a ripple effect.
Yeah.
In your relationships.
Yeah.
A broken relationship just kind of has the effect or cycle of turning into more bad connections and bad relationships.
Yeah.
So even more important to recognize it.
Yeah.
And then see how we can move forward. And story is such a powerful teacher.
Yeah.
So we've heard two snippets and already heard so much within it, within the unpacking. So I know you have some stories for us.
Yeah.
Can we go a little bit more or a little bit deeper into this topic?
Yeah, I've had the privilege of working with many, many, many women who come to the realization that they have some codependency. It is really a privilege because once you get that awareness, it explains so much, like, oh, that's what that is. Oh, that's what I've been doing. Oh, you know, because you don't know, again, what you don't know.
Mm.
But one woman I worked with, a young woman, she grew up in a very, very controlling, strict home. And when my client veered in any significant way from thinking, feeling, or behaving out of the expectations of her parents, especially her mother, she was criticized severely. And she grew up really lacking a sense of self and a lack of confidence. And she looked to relationships to give her value and worth.
Mm.
So she would often, you know, get into a romantic relationship feeling very needy and very insecure, and would act out accordingly and bring some of those codependent behaviors that I just described.
If you have something we should be talking about, let us know. Send us an email to podcast@regenerationministries.org. In the meantime, please be sure to review, rate, subscribe, and share. Back to the show.
Yeah. A lack of a sense of self.
Yeah.
I know it sounds scary to face these things. Mm-hmm. I think to have some of these traits hit home mm-hmm. would rattle you a little bit. But my goodness, when you're able to actually hear it said out loud and that you're not the only one and that there are remedies for this, that's encouraging.
I remember reading Codependency No More by Melody Beatty. It's been around for 45 years, and reading the definition and being like, oh my gosh, you know, it gave me so much it didn't feel, I was like, I'm not crazy. Mm-hmm. And I know for the clients that I work with too, including that young woman, when we began to talk about, you know, what it was and connect the dots. And, you know, she was like, oh my gosh, that explains so much about who I am and why I felt this way. So it is hard work, and yet it's this great sense of freedom.
Mm. And that's, that freedom is by design.
Yeah.
That is
right.
Built
exactly.
into who we are.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so freedom is what we're looking for.
Yeah. And with underprotective parents, the child doesn't get enough support. And independence is supposed to be something, you know, that we as children experience gradually over time. Children need to be provided with a secure, safe base. You know, they mm-hmm. often are like, am I loved? Mm-hmm. Do I belong? Am I safe? In order to feel a sense of confidence and security. And not having this can leave a child feeling very alone and very unsafe. And so these children can overcompensate for feeling unsafe by becoming overly autonomous, you know, just rejecting any need for guidance and support. But underlying it is fear and loneliness. Mm-hmm. And that can be difficult to shake. And so also, children who grow up with an alcoholic parent, which I did, can easily find themselves in codependent relationships because they have learned to mm-hmm. neglect their own needs to be attuned to the needs of another.
Those, there's such shame associated with the word need.
Yes.
And we ignore it.
Yes.
But we all need.
Yes.
And there are four basic needs: to be seen, soothed, safe, and secure.
Yeah.
And if you are missing those as a child, this is not about blaming parents. This is just, okay, I was missing this part. And maybe this is why this feels kind of wonky, or this is why my relationships are constantly in this cycle.
Yeah.
So recognizing those needs and where they weren't met is empowering.
Yes. And to be able to say to a client, learning to express what you need and how you feel is so important. And it's very healthy. And they don't know that they need to do that. They don't know that it's okay to do that. So that's part of recovery, is like just affirming like, oh, I really, really love how you just said what you feel about that. Mm-hmm. You identified how you felt and you expressed it. I really appreciate how you just said, this is what I need. And you said to your friend or your, you know, spouse, mm-hmm. I need this. I feel this. Like mm-hmm. that's a very important part of recovery.
An attunement.
Yeah.
You said the word attunement. Mm-hmm. That is such a powerful tool in our lives.
Being attuned with ourselves.
Yes. If you weren't attuned to, mm-hmm. then attune to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. There is a lot of reparenting that goes on here by our own selves, our own grown-up selves to mm-hmm. our younger selves, mm-hmm. and allowing God to be, mm-hmm. you know, the perfect parent to reparent us. There's a lot of reparenting that goes on in codependency.
Mm-hmm. We're using a lot of words that start with re.
Yes. I love those words.
Yes.
I know. They give me such hope, you know?
That's right. Mm. Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So another client, I mean, this one is very interesting too, because she felt severely neglected in her alcoholic home. Her dad was the one who was alcoholic and very domineering and unfaithful to her mom. And her mom looked for a confidant, somebody to be on, kind of on her team, and so would talk poorly about men. And so, interestingly, you know, and this is not just true of one client. I can think about this profile with several clients over the years, that they were drawn to men that were like their fathers, even though they had very negative feelings for their father. We return to what's familiar, even if it's bad for us, when we grow up in dysfunction. And so she was looking, she and other women were looking for men to give them that sense of security. And, you know, these men that they were drawn to were domineering and sometimes abusive. And yet these women would look to them for their sense of value and worth. Mm. Yeah. It's a very common, actually, a very common theme when we grow up in those kinds of environments.
And this is where, you know, these desires, these basic needs that need to be met when they're not met, this is where our sexuality can really become compromised.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, if you're unable to express your feelings and your needs, then you're just like, whatever you need, whatever you want, take it. You know, mm-hmm. and again, it is sexualized. Mm-hmm. It is sexualized mm-hmm. in ways that are very interesting. You know, we don't know what else to do. And men can respond to sexual offerings, mm-hmm. you know. And so if we're like, oh, that's something I've got, that's mm-hmm. something I can give, it gives you this sense of value and overinflated mm-hmm. you know, sense of that's important. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, sexuality, healthy sexuality is really important, but it comes out sideways. It becomes distorted.
It does.
Yeah.
So we move from a place of belovedness, not brokenness. And that belovedness includes needs.
Yeah.
And includes some boundaries and expectations and such. So how do we begin to move out of this? How do we begin all those RE words? Yeah. You know, the renewal, how do we begin?
Yeah. You know, as we've talked before, know your story. Mm-hmm. You know, get in touch with your story, write out your story, talk to somebody about your story, and then begin to connect some of the dots. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because you'll connect some of these dots, you'll be able to see, oh, my mother, my father, my first boyfriend, and then be kind to yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's easy to shame ourselves, but we really want to encourage a sense of self-compassion because mm-hmm. self-compassion is so healing. Mm-hmm. So kind to yourself. If you're in a pattern of codependency, you don't have a character flaw. You know, you can identify that it had to do with you as a child not getting needs met and ways that you coped. You did what you needed to do to survive and to have some connection. And in some ways, like, you know, you were doing your best to take care of yourself. Okay. You were doing the best to take care of yourself. It's a good thing. And at some point, you're like, oh, okay, this isn't a good thing. And now you want to learn about honoring and respecting yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's a really worthwhile journey. Mm-hmm. Learn about boundaries. There's lots of good books about boundaries.
Podcasts. There's lots.
Lots of podcasts, counseling, coaching. Mm-hmm. Learn about differentiation. I love that word. And that's a part of the whole idea of systems theory. But what it is acknowledging that you have dignity and identity in your own self. Mm. In your own self. Mm-hmm. Stand alone, made in God's image. Mm-hmm. You have your own identity, your mm-hmm. own dignity. So people with codependency believe that their well-being comes from other people. And we want to have a deeper understanding that our well-being comes from God. Mm. Our well-being comes from, his genuine, deep, great love. And so another thing that's a part of recovery is to explore the depth of that reality in your own life.
And it's so deep. Yeah. The idea of differentiation, that you have dignity and identity in your own self. And so did you as a little girl.
Yeah.
And so to love her well.
Yeah.
And work for her, it is a way to move you as a woman into this life better.
Yeah.
Because we've said the phrase a couple times of you didn't know what you didn't know.
Yeah.
But now you know.
Yeah.
So let's go.
And you'll continue to know. You'll be like, I didn't know that. Yes. That's another new revelation instead of being like, shoot, why don't I get this together?
Yeah.
Like, that's just another layer. It's just another layer mm-hmm. and it's okay.
That's right. So as we wrap up, why don't we offer some questions to unpack mm-hmm. in a journal? Because that's mm-hmm. a great way to start.
It is.
And so if you feel the need to unpack some of this codependency with someone and to listen for her, what God is inviting you to and what he has designed you for, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So let's kind of enter into a little time of prayer around these questions. So, and I just pray right now for any women listening that they would just take a moment to breathe and to receive the fact that they are worthy and that they have dignity and honor. And as I read these questions, I just pray for each one of them that they would just say, Lord, be with me, reflect with me about these questions, and take a moment just to write down what comes to your mind. So, Lord, thank you that you will be with us as we reflect on these questions. Who did God create you to be? Before you were told from the world who you were, who are you? How might God want you to live your life? How might he want to live it with you? How do you look to God for what only he can give you? How might you allow God to heal you and begin the process of wholeness? Lord, I pray that the women listening would be gentle with themselves, be honest with themselves, and to learn to trust you more and more. We're grateful, God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kit.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a wrap. Time to stretch out your hands, take a deep breath, and actually release it this time. If we've touched on something that you want to go deeper with, check out our coaching page to set up an appointment with one of us. Head to our website at regenerationministries.org.